Kashtan kamana hate vidbhujamje Tapo jibhyan putra kagena sattva Sudhye vyasmad brahma sokyam svananta
One who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. And when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. Shiva tells his sons about the importance of human life. The word deha bhak refers to one who accepts the material body. But the living entity who is awarded the human form must act differently from animals. Animals like dogs and hogs enjoy sense gratification by eating stool. Yum yum. After undergoing several hardships all day, human beings are trying to enjoy themselves at night by eating, drinking, having sex, and sleeping. At the same time, they have to properly defend themselves. However, this is not human civilization. Human life means voluntarily practicing suffering for the advancement of spiritual life. There is, of course, suffering in the lives of animals and plants, which are suffering due to their past misdeeds. However, human beings should voluntarily accept suffering in the form of austerities and penances in order to attain the divine life. After attaining the divine life, one can enjoy happiness eternally. After all, every living entity is trying to enjoy happiness. But as long as one is encaged in the material body, he has to suffer different kinds of misery. A higher sense is present in the human form. We should act according to superior advice in order to attain eternal happiness and go back to Godhead. It is significant in this verse that the government and the natural guardian, the father, should educate subordinates and raise them to Krishna consciousness. Devoid of Krishna consciousness, every living being suffers in the cycle of birth and death perpetually. To relieve them from this bondage and enable them to become blissful and happy, bhakti yoga should be taught. A foolish civilization neglects to teach people how to rise to the platform of bhakti yoga. Without Krishna consciousness, a person is no better than a hog or dog. The instruction of Rishabhdev are very essential at the present moment. People are being educated and trained to work very hard for sense gratification. And there is no sublime aim in life. A man travels to earn his livelihood, leaving home early in the morning, catching a local train, and being packed in a compartment. He has to stand for an hour or two in order to reach his place of business. Then again he takes the bus to get to the office. At the office he works hard from 9 to 5. Then he takes 2 or 3 hours to return home. After eating he has sex and goes to sleep. For all this hardship his only happiness is a little sex. Yanamai tunari gihameri sukham hitu cham. Rishabhdeva clearly states that human life is not meant for this kind of existence, which is enjoyed even by dogs and hogs. Indeed, dogs and hogs do not have to work so hard for sex. A human being should try to live in a different way and should not try to imitate dogs and hogs. The alternative is mentioned. Human life is meant for tapasya, austerity, and penance. By tapasya, one can get out of the material clutches. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, devotional service, his happiness is guaranteed eternally. By taking to bhakti yoga, devotional service, one's existence is purified. The living entity is seeking happiness life after life, but he can make a solution to all his problems simply by practicing bhakti yoga. Then he immediately becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvatah tyaktva deham pura janma naiti mameti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Hari Om Tat Sat. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, 1st text, in the matter of Lord Rishabhdeva's teachings. This human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for the dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. This month, on the 18th and 19th of November, there's a Pandal program in the city town of Chakdaha, where near the place where Prabhupada took his picnic in the mango orchard on the way to and from Calcutta to Mayapur, from Mayapur. On that place, I was with Srila Prabhupada many years ago, and he did the Pandal program there personally. And he quoted this verse, and practically verbatim what it says here about catching a local train and being packed in a compartment. He mentioned in the preaching, because most of the people there catch the local train to Calcutta in the morning, and for an hour and a half, more than an hour, they ride to Calcutta to go work. And exactly, I don't know if he quoted this the same time, but he said you travel by walking or bus for an hour from the train station to your office. You work. Only additional thing he said at 10 in the morning, in the middle of the morning, you have one tea break. You take a biscuit and a cup of tea. Then you have your lunch. Then again you work. Then again, take tea break. For those who are working, these little tea breaks and little lunch breaks are very important highlights of the work period. You can cajole for a little bit. And so that was very interesting. And then Prabhupada, after giving this example, then he said, so, this is a waste of human form of life. It's not meant to be lived like this. And then he suggested that when you're, at least what you can do, since you're hopelessly entangled in this work, on the way into Calcutta, on the local train, you should chant Hare Krishna. So, and after giving that lecture, next day, one of the choirs was chanting Hare Krishna. I heard even today, it's still going on. So, unfortunately, people cannot easily get untangled from their rat race activity. But if they can add Krishna, if they could just chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavad Gita, and develop a higher taste for spiritual activities, then everything can be purified. We don't understand that how even little practices of devotional service are so important. Even the small things that we can do in Krishna consciousness have a very massive effect. You see, normally people are just in the laws of karma, and they do good works, they get good karma. They do sinful activity, impious activity, they get bad karma. So that way they get punished or they're rewarded in the material world, and they're suffering in so many ways. But a little devotional service can have dynamic rewards beyond any kind of normal calculation. Just like I once wrote to Srila Prabhupada, what should the devotees do for the month of Damodar? And then Prabhupada wrote back and said that you are a regular customer, so if you simply attend everyday Mangal Arti in the month of Damodar, whatever you do, the normal activities, you'll get the benefit. This is especially to attract new customers who are not used to practicing devotional service. Like, for the month of Kartik, we're not supposed to take meat, fish, or eggs. We're doing already that. So the little extra, don't take high protein, so we don't take urad dal. Jai Radha Madhava Sakhi Brindo, Radha Madhava Mayapur Chandra Ki. Of course, there are some additional tapasyas one could do, but that's the minimum. But what's especially recommended is worshipping Radha Madhava, worshipping Radha Krishna in the mornings. Tick, 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 is going on a long time. Confirmed. And in the Padma Purana, there's a mention of this, the glories of worshipping Radha Krishna in the morning, in the month of Damodar. That once there was a sudra by the name of Shankara. And Shankara had a wife whose name was Kali Priya. Kali Priya. And I'd like to tell you they were living happily, but they weren't. Because she thought that my husband is, I deserve something better than what I got. He's a useless guy. I should have some better husband. So she would always neglect her husband, give him rotten food, mistreat him, chastise him, argue all the time. So it was a hellish household life. And she thought that I should have another, I meant to have another man, someone handsome, and whatever. So she was always trying to find another man, drinking alcohol, and she was meeting with her paramour. So then she thought, this husband is like a weight around my neck. He's just like a stone I was carrying around my neck. My paramour, and leave my husband, and I'll be really happy. So one night, she slit the throat of her husband and ran off to meet the paramour. The paramour was waiting in the jungle at the place that was designated to meet, where they had run off together. When she reached there, found that he had been eaten by a tiger. Then she said, what a cruel thing, and how sinful I am. I left my legitimate husband and committed this horrible sinful thing, and then now even my paramour, he's killed, so now I got nothing. Who's going to protect me now? So who's going to take care of me now? So she went back to her home, and then she thought that I've really been cheated by Maya. In this way, I've really done a horrible thing. And she prayed at the dead body of her husband, please may I be forgiven for this sin. What will I ever do now? What fate awaits me now? I'm surely going to be burnt in hell for the sinful things I've done. You know, what could she do? Now she's apologizing to her husband. He's already dead. You know? What can he do? So she runs off. She figures, if I stay here, I'll get caught and punished. So she went, traveled to another city. So happened in that city, she went to one temple and found that there all the people are decorating with flowers and they're offering lamps and flowers in the morning. And so what's happening here? So, oh, we're worshipping Radha and Krishna. This is the month of Kartik and we worship Radha Krishna every morning and night. So, and this month we don't take any meat, fish or eggs, and we don't, take any alcohol, don't do any of these things. We observe strictly this worship of Radha and Krishna. So she also participated in the worship and offered a lamb, and she was observing the Kartik Vrata with these other Maharajis. After that, somehow she passed away. The Yamadutas came running with the leather straps to rip her out of her body and take her to hell. Come and get her, Yamadutas. Yama food. But no sooner did they arrive when Vishnu Dutas came in golden airplanes. And the Sudarshan Chakras were flying around and the Yamadutas decided, it looks like this one's not Yama food for all, after all. And the Vishnu Dutra said, because you worship Radha and Krishna in the month of Kartik, you're going to Goloka Vrindavan. And millions of crores of existences, karma can be destroyed by worshipping Radha Krishna in the morning, in the month of Kartik. So, we underestimate how great the little devotional services we perform are. Of course, these things are not told to everybody because then people think, well, then I can commit more sin and then worship. And they do the sin on the strength of puja or chanting or something. And then, of course, that doesn't work. So only the people who are a little bit sincere are to be revealed these secrets, because we should worship. Well, she did it accidentally. She didn't sin on the strength of chanting. She sinned and then she went and she worshipped and she got all the benefit. It's just the tricky people that get tricked by their own trickiness. So this is such a sacred thing, and the little services we do are so important. So people, even though they may be working like sudras and going and daily trained, but if they would attend the Namhat programs in the evening and they would chant japa or kirtan on the way to and from work, read a little bit of the Bhagavad Gita, worship the deities when they come home, they can just add a little bhakti yoga and their whole existence gets purified. And how urgent it is that all over the world we train people to do bhakti yoga, and that people are in India, of all places, and in Bengal where Lord Chaitanya was, but people don't do bhakti yoga. Hardly they do bhogi yogi. If they do anything, they worship some bogus avatar that somebody concocted. Worship me in the jungle, in the forest, in the street, wherever you are, and I'll help you. One of the people, there's a yogi like that, and he sells his picture everywhere. His pictures are sold. And one person came and tried to steal the jewelry from our deities in Silchar Assam temple, and I was caught by the devotees there, and all the crowd of people came in and all started jumping and beating on him, and he died. And they found around his neck a little amulet from that yogi. Remember me and I'll always protect you. Well, he died in the temple. I don't know, maybe he gets some benefit for that. But so he thought he could steal from Krishna, and he's wearing the yogis. The people, they do all speculative things. But if actually they came and did a little worship, they would get unlimited benefit. If they want material things, they can get also, no problem. So today is the appearance day of, anyway, that's why this verse is so important, that we should use this valuable human form of life, take some austerities. Even a little austerity is so important. For our young people, this is important, because let's think how fortunate the young people are. They're born in the family of devotees. Some places in the West, you find, like in South America, it's amazing. The young people in South America, and mainly in India, you find that they're quite devotional, and they really like Krishna consciousness. They're taking it up quite seriously. Where, like, you go in like America, and you see, you know, in a few other places in the world, I was at, now the fad is you put the silver rings everywhere on your nose, your belly button, your ear, all over, just everywhere, here, and then everywhere they cover with silver rings, and they dress, the black clothes and everything, and that's supposed to be some auspicious thing, I guess. And somehow they like to rebel against the parents. You know, why don't they rebel against the parents who watch TV and become devotees? Instead, they rebel against devotional service in some places. And then they get angry when the parents try to rope them in and discipline them. And I don't know, the parents say, where did we go wrong? I guess having a TV set and... hard to say. That's not the form of the class. But it's unfortunate. I hope that here all the children avoid this rebellious attitude, and the parents somehow imbibe in them by their own good example and loving care the interest to be devotees, because that is what the whole point of the human life is. If we can learn a little bhakti yoga, learn that it's something glorious to do some austerity. We always hear from Dayaram Das the glories about the Muslims, how at least they're very determined and fanatical or whatever in their pursuits. But somehow the children, you know, the children in like Chechnya and these places, right, they're fighting to the death, their Muslim children, in order to get their homeland. And somehow if our children had that we're trying to fight to liberate the entire human race from the bondage that Maya has put them in. And what a wonderful thing to be, you know, rebelling against the whole status quo of this material world, where people are just into sense gratification, and actually be able to create the spiritual revolution. The pride and association with Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful movement. If somehow our young and old people can have that after Prabhupada's disappearance day, we're reminded of this, it creates such a wonderful force. So, we have so much to be proud about. One thing we can be proud about is Jayananda Prabhu, who appears today, I'm told. His picture is on the Narsingha altar. And Jayananda Prabhu was a very special personality. When our Prabhupada declared him a saint, went back to Godhead. We don't really have a system of declaring people saints beyond that. I mean, we have to institute one. I just noticed in the newspaper how the Pope has declared, went to somewhere in some place, I forget where, in Africa, Nigeria, to declare, to beautify somebody, beatify, I don't know, the stage before being a saint. I don't understand all the stages. But I know they have a system that to be made a saint, you have to have a mass petition of 75,000 people. I don't know if that really... There can be a lot of politics in mass petitions. We know about that. But here we have a real saint. He was a saint, but it's interesting because he's a brahmachari. And I guess he's kind of married. One of those retreaded brahmacharis, I think. I'm not sure. He was a devotee. I don't even remember now. First of all, when I met him, he was a brahmachari. Maybe he was like a vanaprast. I can't remember if he got married at one point or not. But he was working all the time in a very humble and enthusiastic way. Like, he would be the devotee who would just always be looking for service. He would never be in the mood, you know, why always I have to do all the service and why others are not serving so much. It would never be his mood. His mood was always looking for the service. What can I do? Wanting to always be busy in Krishna's service and taking even the most menial tasks that no one else wanted to do. He would clean the kitchen after the Sunday feast, right? That's the service everybody's eager to do. You ever see a Sunday feast kitchen? And he would do it very enthusiastically, and he would make it so much fun for the other devotees. One day he told all the devotees in Los Angeles that there's a real nectar service. Who wants to do the nectar service? They all came forward, and then he said, okay, we're going to take out the garbage. And that was a nectar service, you know. It's a nectar service to take out the garbage in the temple. You're cleansing your heart. Everybody did it so enthusiastically that ultimately everybody enjoyed it. So he was really on a transcendental platform. I remember that I was asked to go out with him to pick flowers. We went out about midnight, 1 in the morning, Beverly Hills, to pick flowers. But that night, I think we picked the wrong house, and we were shot at by the house owners. I thought we were dacoits or something, you know? And we got picked up by the, questioned by the police. And so, Prabhupada decided that we shouldn't do that kind of flower picking. He was driving me. I'm not too lucky at some of these things. But it was, you could see that he was always very enthusiastic. And I just had, as I mentioned earlier, that he was like my Vatma Pradasha Guru that first engaged me in building the Rathkar when I first visited a temple. Had me holding nails and hammering and helping him for 1 week. And who shaved me up on the day of the Rath Yatra. But then I immediately flew to, he advised me to get Prabhupada's association, so I flew to Montreal and met Prabhupada. And I didn't see him until I went again to Los Angeles for a short time when Prabhupada called me there to send me to India. And we went out flower picking and I was cleaning the temple and things like that with him and doing some deity worship. But other devotees who spent a long time with him saw that he was always very eager to serve. And of course, the biggest thing was that he would be constantly planning how to make Rath Yatra cars. that he was completely dedicated to making Rathyatrakar for Jagannath. And that was a major contribution, but actually, apart from that, it was his human quality of, or his spiritual quality of always being enthusiastic to do whatever was necessary, and to be very humble about it. To always be encouraging other devotees, to never cause any disturbance to anybody. He loved Krishna Prasadam. He was a devotee, very steady in his chanting and his service. So, if we remember today how he was encouraging the devotees, and if we can also take up the mood of helping all other devotees and trying to be a positive influence, it doesn't take very much to get back to Godhead. It doesn't take very much to commit offenses and not get back also. If we remember his quality of nirmatsaranam, to be free of envy, and if we can somehow imbibe that service attitude, then we could get back to the Goloka Vrindavan very easily by attending the Mangal Arati throughout the year and by serving Guru and Krishna. But somehow Kali is determined, to stop the Sankirtan movement, and everything else fails, and the least they can do is to create envy amongst the devotees. Of course, it's easy to mistreat a devotee, and then the devotee gets angry and bitter and becomes disillusioned. So from our side, we should always be very careful to try to treat devotees properly. I don't know how many unlimited people I have offended in my own devotional career, knowingly or unknowingly. When we hear the pastime about how Rupa Goswami, he was reading some pastime about Krishna, and he was meditating and meditating, and all the pastimes of Krishna were appearing, and he started to laugh in ecstasy. And there was an old brahmana who walked by and felt offended. And because of that, immediately Rupa Goswami lost his ecstasy, because this devotee felt offended. And he asked Sanatana Goswami, "Why I'm not feeling any more ecstasy in my devotional service?" "So you must have offended somebody." "So then I don't remember offending anybody." "Well, someone must feel offended." So how to find out? "So let's invite all Vaishnavas to come for some puja, some special function. And whoever doesn't come, you know that they feel offended." So they said everybody came except this one old brahmana. So he must feel offended. So then Rupa Goswami went and fell at his feet and begged, "Why did you come? You must feel offended for me. What offense have I committed? Please forgive me." And he said, "Well, no, why did you that day? You were laughing at me. So I hold you as a great brahmana and great esteem. I didn't even know you were there. I was chanting and I was seeing this pastime of Krishna, and I laughed and I was feeling so happy. So please forgive me." And then the brahmana felt like a real schnook that I committed this offense to you. I thought you were laughing at me. Of course, how could you ever laugh at me? And so then everything was straightened out, and then Rupa Goswami was feeling spiritually blissful again. So if a little thing like that can stop you from feeling spiritual bliss, can we offer the lamp on behalf of somebody else and they get the benefit? I don't know the system for doing that. their system to offer worship on behalf of somebody else. There's some mantras to do that. I don't know exactly the mantras, like you can offer worship on behalf of somebody, but maybe the pujaris can research. You say their gotra and their name and say, I'm offering this on behalf of somebody. There's some system for doing that, but I don't know exactly what it is. Any other question? Yes. How to develop the mood to take up suffering. Look at the suffering people go through to become doctors. Study for 8-9 years to get a doctor degree, to become medical doctors, to go to college. Look at the suffering that people do to become Olympic athletes. They fast and they work out and do all kinds of things. Just to be... Because, why? Because they have their goal, right? They want to get the gold medal. Or they want to become a doctor and become rich. Or they want to get their degree and get a good job. So in order to get ahead in the world, they do this. So if you have some kind of a goal, if you understand that by the highest goal in life is to please Krishna, and Krishna will be pleased by taking on this austerity, then it's easy enough to do. The point is that people don't have as Rishabh Dev is telling his sons here, he's educating his children. That's why I said this is so important for our children. He's telling them, my dear boys, that this is how you can attain eternal blissful life, transcendental to material happiness which continues forever. People work so hard to stand up on the podium and have everybody clap, you know, and when they get the gold medal for the 5 seconds off the thing, you know, then next, okay, 100 yards sprint, 200, you know, that was their moment of glory, everyone cheering, da 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 da, off, okay, next. For that, they work 10 years, you know, 20 years. Some people work so hard, they don't get anything, they don't even get the gold medal. It's not everybody gets it. India, that's, didn't get a single gold medal. Didn't get a single medal, I think. In Thailand, somebody got the bronze medal for boxing, and the whole country came out to throw ticker tape from the windows and toilet papers and things to receive them, you know, open. Poland, they have many medalists. We put the wrong values. We put the value that to get a gold medal in an athletic thing, that's important. To get a trophy, to get rich and famous, or to get a good job. These are important, but they're not. They're nothing special, you know. This, I mean, the good job is important, maybe. But the other things, I don't know if it's important at all. It's important because they get the sports sponsorships nowadays. But... what we don't know is that we don't give the importance to actually be a devotee is the most important. That's where you get the real eternal happiness. So we understand that the goal, if we just focus on how wonderful the goal is, then to take a little austerity to achieve a higher goal, that's already the nature of human life. That we're doing, any intelligent person does that, to get some kind of a goal. Even the sutras are doing, in one sense, they're working hard all day for the little temporary happiness at night. But why not see that intelligence is to take this little austerity to get the highest spiritual happiness at the end of life? And by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we can experience that spiritual happiness even now, even in the life. It's a special bonus. We can just avoid people feeling offended by us.